This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 32, featuring Ron, Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and a cast of several.
Yes. Hi. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Yes. It's just me and Matt at the moment. Taking a brief break between talking to all the amazing people that we're talking to.
Taking a brief break to talk to you about blue coal.
Friends.
Yes, blue coal, friends. To heat your house.
Has this depression got you down? I was looking through the flaunt questions, and we have one here that... As we call it here, sort of behind the scenes, his little play. It's a full two paragraph thing here. I thought maybe we'll just tackle this one on our own rather than
got protagonists and antagonists and moral. Yeah,
there's a whole symbology in this. There's and
rising actions.
Yeah,
and other terms I learned in high school English.
And if you read it backwards, it's a great recipe for roast.
And if you read it to the Wizard of Oz, they sync up.
Okay, let's do this just to show that we're not just trying to pawn our work off on other people. We'll answer one, won't we?
If we must.
And like I said, Matt, this is a long one. You might want to get comfortable, rattle your Slurpee around a little. We know how the listeners enjoy that.
With me this time,
really,
we've got one.
We're in one of our marathon recording sessions. You'd think you'd have something.
You would think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Your voice is going to be very tired.
Yes.
All right. Let's...
Especially talking about it, I can feel the...
Yeah, now that we're like, your throat is feeling very dry, isn't it? Dry. Well, you know what?
Dry.
This is going to take me 20 minutes to read. You might as well go get a drink of water while I do this.
I'm going to get a drink of water.
Dear Al, Matt, and today's special guest. Oh, now he mentions the guest.
Oh, fuck you, Flunk.
This is
your stupid face for jerks.
This is something I've been pondering recently. Who would you say is the modern-day Mel Blanc? Billy West seems to be the obvious choice, not just because he's the current voice of Bugs Bunny, but his shows like Futurama show, he's got incredible range. Not many other voice actors can match both his versatility and high profile. Blah da blah da blah da blah da blah da blah. I'd like to nominate a dark horse candidate, Matt Chapman from Homestar Runner. Blah-dy 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 blah.
I don't care. Just give him some pants.
Too long, Clanky. Too long. And finally, the question at the end. Thoughts?
Feelings?
I like clouds.
You too. They're nice.
That's my thought.
Like a duck. Hello, duck cloud.
I like you better than I like Flonk, and you're just going to dissolve into mist soon.
Where are you going on your travels today, duck cloud?
What he's basically trying to get us to do is agree with him that that Matt Chapman, the guy who does the voices for all the Homestar characters, is a very talented voice guy. Well,
he is a very talented voiceman.
Sure, but now that Flonk has said it, I don't really want to talk about that.
No.
I'd rather talk about, I don't know, Winston Churchill.
We'll fight them on the beaches.
We'll fight. We will never surrender. And
never
you
surrender.
And you, madam, are ugly. And I will fight them on the beaches in the morning.
You are ugly. I have a hat.
Is Winston Churchill my fiancé?
Makes sense to me. I'm surprised you haven't noticed yet.
Well, you know, I do...
In addition to being the Queen of France.
Well, that I did know. No, I actually mentioned Winston Churchill because a friend of mine, an old school friend of mine, went to England and brought me back a little book of Churchill quotes.
Oh.
Which is nice. I'm looking for anything particularly bawdy, and I'm not really seeing anything. These are family-friendly ones, which is, you know.
If there's one thing I can say from all of this war happening, it's this. I like cake.
I would put him in the Cake Lovers Club, certainly.
What do you think, my good friend Orson Welles?
Yes. Yeah. Always.
Oh, oh, oh. Yes, rather than answer Flong's questions, we will make noises as though we are fat men eating cake.
Something that defeats Flonk's play is a play of our own.
Dramatis personae, Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of England.
Stay tuned for Lady Chatterley's Lover.
That was one of the first adult movies I ever seen. Lady Chatterley 2. And I'm not lying. This is totally true. Adam West was in that movie. Softcore porn. It was on Cinemax. Adam West was in it.
Old chum.
Lady Chatterley. Yeah, that was...
What's this? You Kate Crusaders caught by Lady Chatterley?
You diabolical fiend. Holy Friday After Dark, Batman! Yeah, we gotta get that show, damn it.
That most terrible foe of ours, Catwoman. I love that. In that movie, he has this perfect pronunciation of that.
Catwoman? Like he emphasizes the woo?
Yeah, Catwoman.
And by that point, they're on what, Catwoman 8?
Yes, exactly.
It's like Hervé Villechaize in the cat suit at that point.
It's Adam West in a cat suit.
This is perfect.
Meow, meow.
Well, now you're just playing Henrietta Pussycat there. That's a whole other thing. That reminds me, we got to do a full hour on the neighborhood of make-believe. We were discussing this off to the side last night, and oh my God.
What we've taken away from this? That show was way more complicated than it had any right to be.
There was this whole, like, soap opera aspect of it. If you look it up on Wikipedia, from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, the neighborhood of make-believe, there's a bit about where the mill or the factory or something burns down in season one. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, didn't that happen in Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
What? The mill burned down in a kid's puppet show? Really?
The other thing we learned, was it Lady Aberlane?
Yeah. She was hot back then.
Fucking hot.
And
Jesus.
She hit the wall hard.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
She looks like a troll.
I wonder what she looks like now. Whoa.
Damn it, internet. Sometimes you are helpful. Today you are not helpful.
Oh, man. Were you in a fire?
Oh, God. You weren't. Oh. Well.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Did Mr. Rogers beat you?
She had like the, I thought, the one thing I noticed, she has like the single, like, chunk of white hair that you only get in things that aren't real,
in Trolls.
Yes, but I mean, like, you see that in your, like, in your comic book villainesses.
Oh, like your
like the shock of white hair.
I'm
sort of like the Reed Richards thing, only it's in the middle rather than the side.
Oh, I see. Like the skunk hair.
Yeah, skunk hair.
Do you know
that happened in real life?
My absolute favorite thing about the never released Roger Corman Fantastic Four. Reed Richards, you know, of course, he's got the famous, as you say, the gray temples. They hired a young actor and they painted his temples silver, which is already ridiculous. But okay, fine. You got a good makeup guy. No problem. No, they had a bad makeup guy. They clearly used spray paint, and the tips of his ears are visibly silver in all of his close ups.
Oh, that movie had one good thing going for it. Hot Sue Storm.
You know, there was a very young Mercedes McNabb in that movie, apparently. Harmony from Buffy and Angel.
Oh, no shit.
Played young Sue in, like, flashbacks.
Huh.
Of course, I know that. She went on to be a celebrity, but the biggest celebrity that movie had going for it at the time was George Gaines. I believe I'm getting the name correct. Punky Brewster's dad. Played Reed Richards, like, mentor at university or whatever. I'm also talking about the Commandant from Police Academy. That's the same guy.
Really?
I'm very, very proud of all of you. You know, that guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you don't know who I'm talking about, do you?
Not at all, no.
That's okay.
And I used to watch Punky Brewster.
He was the dad. He was very old and kindly sort of man.
I'm sorry, but whenever I try to think of him, I just see the dad from Different Strokes.
Mr. Drummond?
Yeah.
All right.
Or the dad from Empty Nest.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Empty Nest is that show that I had to watch when I was at grandma prison. when my parents would go out Saturday night and they couldn't find a babysitter, they'd send me down to my grandma's house. Yeah. And I'd have to watch The Golden Girls because she's an old lady. And then whatever came on after that, which was like...
Always Empty Nest.
Empty Nest. And then there was that block of sassy black people shows like... Not The Jeffersons, but the show that Sherman Helmsley did after that.
Different World?
No. That was a spinoff from The Cosby Show. This was Sherman Helmsley, you know, George Jefferson. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
The short guy that he kind of had that pimp strut kind of chicken walk.
He really did.
Yeah. He played like a minister. It was Amen.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then 227.
I actually watched that,
yeah. Yeah, that was the whole Saturday night crap fest. You're listening to TV Guide Lists 1987 NBC shows.
Well, we're on the topic, Mr. Belvedere.
Why not? You like bringing up Mr. Belvedere.
I do, actually.
All right. Anyway, we got more people to talk to. This was just sort of us touching base with you because we had so many people, we had to split this into several shows. So, yeah.
Let's get back to that.
Let's continue.
And remember, friends, buy blue coal at whatever your local coal dealership is.
Coal dealership?
Your local coal dealership.
All right.
Where do you buy coal? Mr. I don't buy coal from a coal dealership.
On the internet. Where do you buy anything?
www.bluecoal.com.
Oh God, if that's taken, we're gonna get like sued or I don't know.
Like free advertising? Yeah, you need to buy coal, go to bluecoal.com.
Look, the lawyers are scowling at me. I don't know why, all right? All right, here comes some questions. Our next guest is you may know her as Tedro. She also has a real human name. It's Terry, but I prefer Tedro because humanity. I have trouble with humanity. So Tedro, welcome to the show.
Hi.
You are a soapstress. Is that the correct word? I hope it isn't because I like to think that we made that word up.
Soapsmith.
Soapstress. I think you made that up. Yeah.
Awesome. Actually, I think I have to give Amanda credit for that one. I believe that's one of hers. But
I like it though.
You are a maker of soap.
I make. I don't actually make soap. I make soap pretty.
Ah, wow! Listen to you. You're like the most professional, vendor type. You know, I got something to give to sell to people that I think we've ever had. That's that was nice.
Don't make soaps. We make soap pretty.
Exactly.
Well,
a Tedro production.
I didn't steal that from anywhere.
No, of course you didn't. Oh. Totally original. TM. Well, I'll put the little ding in post so we have, But if there's one thing we've established that Matt and I both love on this show, it's pretty things. So
pretty things. And pretty dresses.
I think this would be the good, a good opportunity to sort of openly discuss. You and I have been talking on the side about the possibility of show soap. And the reason is soap, really? That's what you're going with?
I enjoyed it.
All right.
That's a good portmanteau.
All right.
Thank you.
Don't encourage him. because, you know, I mean, everybody does mouse pads and hats and all that. I'm like, you know what? We got talented friends and we got friends who do things that not everybody does. Let's do something unique. And you made me that awesome Han Solo soap, which is just amazing.
Yeah, that thing is awesome.
It was totally for free and I didn't charge you at all for it. So no one
sued. No, of course you didn't. And I did pay you for materials, but that's all. That was not.
I had to make the mold. That was the hard part.
No. That was not a profit thing. That was honestly, really, it was me seeing what you can do. I saw you making molds. You sent me a nice little sample pack because I was kind of in a bad mood one day, which was awesome. Really made me smile. And I said, hey, you know what's cool and looks kind of like soap already? Han Solo.
You know, I actually had seen someone do a chocolate bar of Han Solo.
Ooh.
And so when you said soap, it was just like, yes, I must do that.
Awesome. Yeah, that one was fantastic. And so we've been talking about, you know, what can you do to sort of exploit the show and maybe, you know, like set up a little marketplace, make you a couple of bucks, make us a couple of bucks. And we've been talking about the one thing that we always come back to, which, of course, is shake hands with danger. The other morning you were showing me you can get a mold for a hard hat and for a wrench. I was thinking, well, maybe let's do both. Let's do like a gift pack and round out the set with three-fingered Joe's missing severed fingers.
Yeah, the dismembered bits.
Right.
Which I just got the mold in for today, and they're almost life-size.
Well, the best part of that exchange with you was can you do severed fingers? And then you sent me like five links. Well, there's this, there's this, there's this. The wrench was hard to find, but severed fingers were all over that.
What kind of severed fingers do you want?
Do you want children's fingers? Do you want them to have arthritis?
Was really children's fingers.
Well, my big seller at Halloween this year was soap that looked like eyeballs.
Yes, you sent me one of those with the Han thing, and I noticed you actually sent the color that is my eye, and I didn't know if that was deliberate or what, but it was.
No, it's probably just what I had left over.
Okay, because there's this green eye staring up at me. I'm like, is she sending me some kind of a message here?
No.
Okay, just a coincidence. Whew. All right.
Soap eyes are not a good replacement for
black eyes. No. We did discuss doing that. We may end up doing that. I'm not sure yet. I do know, and this was Amanda's contribution, once again, showing who the true brains of this operation is. She said, you know, whatever packaging we do, you open it up, and there's just a card with a single word in very bold, stark font that just says, "Here!" Yeah. So we may still do that. We also briefly looked at playing the little guitar riff when you open the package. We were looking at those little chips that they put in the greeting cards. And,
yeah, that would be expensive, but really cool.
Yeah.
It would be so friggin' cool.
I think, can you put a price on driving Pat Loika insane? Because that's really what it comes down to.
That's so funny.
I'd be just hanging around outside his house going,
Well, you know, this whole discussion is going to be littered with that guitar riff.
Of course. I would hope so.
Yeah, that's what I do. That is all that editing is taking out the pauses.
Editing the shake hands with danger riff.
Pretty much. And now I've started when someone says the word phenomenon, I've now started. Yeah.
Yes, I love that. And I didn't actually even notice that until I listened to it with earphones one time.
Mm.
Yeah, it's subtle.
That's what we are. We're subtle. And gay.
Definitely.
All right. Oh, look at this. The
Sarcastic Voyage podcast. It's subtly gay.
Oddly enough, the question that we have here from you know who, and you do know who, right? I mean,
the Beast.
Of course.
All right.
The inferior Lynch.
Right. Yes, actually. Lynch Beta says, "Hi, guys, and girl, if applicable." Oh, he managed to actually.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, look at that. I totally picked this out at random. This was not
a plan.
This was not planned. Who is your favorite Muppet? He asks.
Ooh.
So, T-Dro, if you'd like to field this one first.
Oh, that's so hard.
Well, do you want a minute? Do you want us to?
No. I've got it.
All right.
I have to say Miss Piggy.
Okay.
Oh. She's a role model growing up. You know, she got what she wanted. She beat up her man if he didn't do what she wanted. And
what a great role model.
Well, yeah, she wore fabulous dresses.
Sure. And I got to say...
She tricked her husband into marriage. That was always my favorite.
Well, that's basically my entire you know, relationship strategy is to trick people into committed relationships.
Well, hey,
it works really well.
Yeah?
What the hell happened to me?
One day I'm calling myself Phil and selling people soap, and the next... Man, the end of that movie makes me cry so hard. God, I'm such a...
Yeah, when she tricks him into marriage.
You're a bigger girl than me.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
That movie has the saddest friggin' song in it, though.
Yeah, it does. I can't help it. I get a weak spot for the Muppets. I can't make body jokes about the Muppets at all. Like, when people start making jokes about Ernie and Bert being gay, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
They're not...
And it's not like, how dare you? It's just, I can't think like that. They're not, they have no,
We went to the Henson Museum exhibit, at the museum downtown in D.C. when it was here. Oh. And I think I cried at the exhibit.
Oh.
It was like childhood friends.
Well, they you're actually back in
hanging on the wall.
you're actually back in the D.C. area where I used to be. You know, he started at the University of Maryland, and for quite some time, they had a lot of his really early stuff there, and I unfortunately never made it over to see that. Is that what they had in that exhibit, or?
Yes, they had a lot of early stuff. They had some actual puppets. They had an iPod audio tour that, ooh, no one could get to sync up properly, but...
Narrated by Kermit.
By Kermit or...
Your left.
Or fake Kermit.
Well, it would have to be fake Kermit, yeah.
Right. And over there is a puppet from the Dark Crystal. Yay!
Actually, there is a dress like the puppet dress, and my girlfriends and I were like dying because the puppet dress was so pretty.
Ah, yeah, we had, I think we had like a portion of that here at the Seattle Sci-Fi Museum, but it was you know very small. And I almost got thrown out of the place. This is not a joke. I almost got thrown out of the place for taking a picture of Menomina. Apparently, you're not allowed to.
They were at the exhibit too.
Yeah, apparently you're not allowed to gaze upon Menomina or reproduce it in any way. Do not speak of Menomina. Do not taunt Menomina. Just bad news. Yeah, he's like, you know, this is from the Smithsonian, right? Like, yeah, I've been to the Smithsonian 1,000 times. They don't care if you take pictures. Go away.
only the Muppets. You can't take pictures of the Muppets.
Apparently. But I got to say, as far as favorite Muppet goes, that is so difficult. I'm going to just cop out and say Kermit, probably. I know it's a boring answer, but what can I tell you?
Kermit's awesome, man.
He is, but, you know, there's so much weirder. And, you know, I do appreciate the weirdness of the Muppets. I love, you know, the guy who throws the fish and...
New Zealand?
Yeah.
No, but Kermit's the everyman.
Yeah.
I typically don't go for the everyman character, though. I usually pick the sort of the off-the-wall one. So, Matt, how about you?
Oh, Rolf. I fucking love Rolf. Hope that something better comes along.
Well.
Guy's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you that. My thing, and this is not a criticism of Rolf, but he definitely looks older. Like, he looks like that older.
He's like the first Muppet or something. He was like the proto-Muppet.
Right.
He's on, like, and friggin' it's... some, like...
Yeah, like Sam and Friends, I think it was. The early... And he's great, and it's cool that he kept him in the rotation, but he definitely looks very different from the others to me. And that's not a bad thing. It's just I always, as a kid, kind of thought of him, I don't know, like that's that... He looked like a puppet. The other ones look like real guys.
Awesome.
You understand what I mean?
Like, I gotta go home, read a book, have a couple of beers, take myself for a walk, and go to bed.
I was reading recently. Apparently, Rolf is based on Doctor. No, I'm sorry. That's Doctor Teeth.
Doctor Teeth is based on
Doctor John, the New Orleans like blues man.
Doctor Teeth is also awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, this
nothing like Rolf.
No, nothing like Rolf at all.
At all.
Just like Lur and what is it? Lur and
the horrible gelatinous blob.
Yeah, they don't sound anything alike either.
Nope, they don't. I don't know why anyone would say that.
Right,
it's a lie.
So, Tidro, unfortunately, we have a lot of these ridiculous, retarded questions to get to. We don't have time. We definitely need to do this again, like, for a full segment.
Hmm.
Great having you on. Anything you wanted to mention or say or do or?
Well, first of all, I want a shirt, an official Sarcastic Voyage, Are You Smarter Than an Apricot shirt.
That's right. You made us let that logo, that great logo, and I've been looking for an excuse to show that off, and now that you've reminded me, I can throw that up in the show notes, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
It is, I have
that's,
this
we need that shirt.
I have this mural of the art that people have given us, and it's right up there with everything else. It's up on the fridge here, so rest assured we loved that, and we'll see what we can do about a shirt there.
Yeah.
Cool. So, and I guess if people want to see what kind of crazy soap I make, you can go to bunnybubbles.com.
That's awesome. I was trying to think of a disparaging thing to say about that name, and I'm like, wait, why? That's awesome.
It's very silly.
I don't have to
and
be
it's...
an asshole.
Oh, no. It's the entire spirit of this thing is supposed to be very fun and silly, and so that's
yeah, absolutely. And
I come up with.
And my initial reaction was sort of the same guy reaction to Etsy, which is that knee-jerk, oh, that's girl stuff. But, you know...
definitely.
You broads put together some pretty classy stuff there, I gotta say.
There are some male, you know, oriented shops on there.
Oh yeah.
The thing
is,
it's such an untapped market, so you can do handmade things that are geared towards men. Us crazy Etsy chicks will buy them for our men.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I've seen like, especially people like you with a very nerd friendly slant. Trying to make stuff that's not specifically, you know, frou-frou and girly, but just kind of, you know, cool and nerdy, which, you know, I wish you continued success with that because you do make some great stuff. And we're definitely going to exploit your talents for all we can get out of them. So
yep,
be prepared.
Cool. Thank you.
Tidro, great talking to you. We'll do this again sometime and take care.
Ooh,
all right. See you.
Bye.
All right, our next guests are the ever-drunken English Gav. Is that his name? Yes, Gav. English Gav and Irish. What?
English
Gav also. Right.
Al, are you drunk?
I could be. I could very well be.
Next up is what the hell's your name? Something.
I actually was thrown for a minute because I referred to him as English Flonk on the show once, and he's changed his Twitter name so that it says English Flonk.
The entire basis of your reality.
Yeah, and my brain is like English Flonk. No, that's not right.
You're not English Flonk. No, that was ah.
Well,
what is happening?
I am. I don't think when we started recording these segments that I had yet been diagnosed with the H1N1, the swine flu. But I'm now on the other side of that. I'm now overcoming that. So my brain is still a little what do you call it? Piggy, swinish, porcine,
porkers.
Yes, porkers. Anyway, this is the longest intro I've ever done, gentlemen. Welcome.
You could probably say something now.
Hello.
Hi.
What's the haps?
Yes.
What's the haps again?
I couldn't think of anything else.
So you are, once again, enjoying adult beverages, correct?
Yes, indeed. Fantastic. We're never, no one understands.
Yes. You are,
but
you
we are never not enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, in this case, it's true.
It is true.
As we have explained to you, we have this mound of questions from American Flonk. Flonk. that we need your help getting through. So if you would not mind, please. Here is the question. He says, Dear Al and Matt, of course he always leaves off the guest.
Douche.
Yeah, he is. what is the eighth worst pet a person can have? Flonk from the San Diego Zoo.
You go first.
A tadpole.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's a shitty pet.
But yeah, it's the eighth worst. Like there are seven worse than
that. Well, yeah,
right?
I mean, like you know.
Yeah, this one.
Okay.
Certainly have worse pets than that.
Yeah.
Like marmoset.
I think I'm not.
At least the tadpole grows into a frog. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, yeah. So it's
not a frog. A frog is certainly not a bad pet, so...
And it becomes a 13th worst pet you could have.
So there is room for growth in them.
Sure, absolutely.
I've been staring at it for longingly. Someday you'll be a slightly better pet.
Well, I think since there are four of us here now, we probably could easily determine what the other seven are.
The seventh worst pets.
Sure. Rather than just getting each of us to name the eighth, maybe we could just kind of, you know, jointly
Would
come
Smaug
up with
be the first worst pet?
Smlown isn't a pet.
I'm pretty sure, Gav, I'm pretty sure you're Smlown's pet.
I was Smlown. Just about to, yes, I would agree with that.
I'm reasonably certain Smlown is a curse.
A gypsy curse. Yeah. Yes, I used to be a vampire.
Are you aware?
Then you pissed off a gypsy and she gave you a clown?
are you aware in Chinese
it's like the worst Stephen King novel ever?
I'm not saying something.
In Chinese, the word for smlown is the same as the word for opportunity. Did you know that?
Yes. Smlown opportunity.
Ah, now see, finishing that quote is verboten, but
yes.
I knew I could count on you for that. So I'm sure between the four of us, we can name seven terrible pets. Of course, Panda would be number one for me.
Obviously. Panda would be number one for everyone.
Right.
A nanite, one single nanite would be a pretty pet.
Now, if you have a nanite farm, that would be okay.
Well, yeah, but just one nanite.
One nanite would be, yeah.
Moving around your molecules.
Yeah, terrible, useless.
If you don't have a spare ocean, a blue whale would be pretty rubbish.
Yes, but we know from QI that the blue whale is never the answer. So
never not the answer.
Thank you for saying that, Matt.
No problem.
Oh, geez, I don't know. I've always thought that like turtles are pretty stupid pets.
I mean, you could just have a pet rock.
Yeah, well, and of course, there's the pet rock.
The pet rock, which sucks.
Yeah.
Or the
wrestler.
Or the rock. That would be a real pet.
Which?
or the, what do you call that species from Star Trek that's like a rock?
Oh, the
Horta.
Yes. Oh, the Horta. Actually, they'd be pretty cool, actually. Never mind that.
All right, how many is that? 8, 12, something?
17.
Yeah, sure. But I think the
17 worst pets.
Yes. So I think that said, we've answered the question.
And the number one worst pet of all time is
David Letterman.
David Letterman.
I thought Smlown was running there. That sound made me turn. Like, is he coming? Is he behind me? All right, gentlemen. We do have a lot of guests to get to, a lot of questions to get to. I will say, as I've mentioned to previous guests, this is our last show of the year. Sort of a wrap up thing. If either of you have anything you wanted to say to us, to the audience, whatever, now would be your chance. Anything we've gotten wrong, anything you feel we left out of your appearance, anything like that, now's your chance.
Gav, you can publicize your My Rubbish Comics. Not comic strip.
It's not a comic. You can't draw. I see it. It's your Sober Chronicles. Tell them about your Sober Chronicles.
It's great. Don't read it.
Oh,
that's what they say.
You've been regularly posting a sort of a prose series on the web. I did put a link in the show notes. However, we didn't mention it on the show. So yes, by all means, if you'd like to plug, please do. Or not.
I can't remember the link at the minute.
That's okay. We'll throw it in the show notes again. Not that anyone looks at those damn things, but you know, they'll be there.
And never mind. That's it.
Anything else? Anything?
Nice. I can't think of anything. That was all I was wanting to say. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Hi. Hello.
That'll do.
Yes. Hi. Hello. That's it.
All right then. Well, gentlemen, again, thank you. I think I speak for pretty much everyone when I say that your appearance is among the best we've had so far. No kidding. Lots of positive feedback. We really enjoyed it. People seem to really enjoy it, and we definitely need to have you both back. So thanks. And
thank you very much yourself.
Thank you.
Okay, our next guest. Well, I was going to say needs no introduction. I hate it when people say that, but really, you all know him. It's Mr. Smlown. Hello, Mr. Smlown.
Hello.
God.
This would, in fact, be the first time we've ever spoken with you live.
Yes. I don't really get out much from the attic room that that Gav keeps me in.
Chained to the wall.
So you're in the attic? Or I thought last we heard you were in, where was it, in Frankfurt or somewhere in Germany or somewhere in, I don't know.
Yeah.
I
don't want to talk about that. That's all.
Okay, sorry. Usually we send a sort of a, we send a soulless form letter typically and try to figure out what's off limits. And I apologize we didn't do that in this case. But we need your help. And not so much with the touching of Matt as with the
please.
Answering of questions.
Jesus Christ.
So what happened is there's a guy who listens to the show. His name is Flonk. You may be familiar with him.
Yes, I listen to every show.
Of course you do.
Every single show.
he's written us a lot of emails, and we need your help answering one, if you would.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
So, to the point. To the professional podcasteers. Yeah, that's not a word. If they made Sarcastic Voyage action figures, what sort of accessories would the toy versions of you come with? Stan, it says, but he means Sloan. So, Mr. Sloan, if this show had action figures, I feel like you might know this better than others, and I won't get into why. But what do you think? What do you think our action figures might come with?
Well, I think the Matt figure would just come with nothing. just like the naked Action Man figures.
Sure.
That would be good.
Now, would he be anatomically correct, or would he be smooth like a Ken doll?
Like in real life.
Well, I think he would be anatomically correct. Oh, yes.
Anatomically correct. So you've given this some thought, I think.
Never not thinking about it.
Oh, God, it's even worse coming from him.
I'm still fascinated and a little horrified by the prospect of speaking to you live. And I should note, we are recording this at the same time we were speaking to the Gavs, and we heard Smlown send them out of the room to record this
Yes, this is my only private time this week.
So
horrible bastards. This is why I swap his DVDs around so they're not in alphabetical order.
Now, do they let you drink when they're having these weekends? Do they give you a taste? Do you get any alcohol whatsoever? Or
well, English Gav does, but the other one, he's just a horrible bastard.
Kind of soak through the wool though.
Yes and no.
All right then,
and that's all I have to say on that.
All right, well, let's to the point of the question. Matt, if they made action figures of us, and I have contemplated this when we were making our webcomic, actually, there is a service that will take 3D models from the program that I used and turn them into action figures, but it's way too expensive. But what would you include if they were action figures of us?
Oh, man. Well, I would have guns. Lots and lots of guns.
Now, let's pretend Mr. Smlown's not on the line.
Oh, well.
And you're not trying to keep him away from your home. What then would you be carrying?
Incidentally, he would come with a sex swing.
I am on the line.
Yes.
Just to remind you.
Of course. I know.
Was listening.
But just
planning.
Just as a mental exercise, if he weren't, and you weren't immediately thinking of self-defense, then what other accessories might you...
I would come with about 16 Slurpee cups.
All right. That's fair.
I like Slurpee too, Matt.
That's good to know.
Can you use a straw with your stupid mouth, or do you have that same problem?
Stupid hands and feet, if not a mouth.
All right, I'm sorry.
You've angered him.
You think Matt's laughing, but those are actually tiny screams of horror. I think my own action figure would probably just come with my action microphone, my giant phallic old-timey microphone.
Phallic, you said.
Your ridiculous computer or your podcasting setup.
Yeah, the whole podcasting playset, which as seen on the Venture Brothers, incidentally. That's pretty much it. Now, I need to address this delicately, Mr. Sloan. May I call you Malvern?
No.
Okay.
He's turning on you.
Mister, it is. I'm nothing if not respectful. I'm never nothing if not respectful.
So respectful.
What accessories do you come with?
Well, I would come with a time fridge.
A time fridge?
Yes, it's what I use to travel in time. But don't tell anyone else this.
Oh, this is
of course not. No.
No, but
they don't know. But yes, I like to travel back to the 1142.
1142.
Yes. In the morning, that is.
Right. Of course. In your time fridge.
Yes. And then have a conversation with myself. It's quite fun.
Oh, Lord. Well, then now you know you've upped the ante, and next time we have you on the show, we're going to have you and you on the show. God.
Well, as long as you're awake at 11:42 at this time, that can be arranged.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Oh,
well, as much as I would like to never talk to you again, no, I mean, as much as I'd like to continue this conversation, we do have other questions, other guests to get to. But
oh, God, that's just the worst.
We do appreciate your time and your efforts at trying to seduce Matt. And
I don't appreciate those.
No, you will,
Matt, you will.
I suppose I should give you the same opportunity I've given all the other guests, which is this is the last show of the year. If there's anything in the last 30 shows that we've done or said that you want to address, or if there's anything you just want to say to the audience in general, here's your forum. Like now's your chance.
You like to plug your holiday special, Christmas with Smile.
Yes, I'd just like to mention my Twitter page. It's at Mr. Smlown. That's Mr. Smlown.
Yes. I do notice that
in the show notes.
we've provided that before, but I certainly will again. And I noticed the Porkers is now on Twitter, but much like many people who try Twitter and sort of abandon it, he hasn't been around. Is that
no? Unfortunately, Porkers is more of a MySpace person. But what do you expect with a pig?
Well, Mr. Sloan, thank you for your time, and I hope you die in a fire. All right, our next guest, once again, I don't know if this counts as nepotism or favoritism or
some kind of tism.
Some, yeah. My girlfriend's back. Or
and there's going to be trouble. Hey now, my girlfriend's back.
Now she's not speaking because she's playing up that whole imaginary thing again.
Oh, she's a ghost.
Fantastic. This is going incredibly well. She's just staring at me here.
Excellent radio.
Please don't do that. You gave me the swine flu. Can't you at least like play along and pretend you exist for a little while longer?
Of course she can't.
Of course she can't.
I came on your show with the swine flu, though.
Oh, you don't have the swine flu anymore.
I gave you swine flu and I'm shutting up.
Look, we've talked about this before. You pretending to be my girlfriend is really bad news. Like, that's...
You're just going to do that now, though, right? Like, if I don't talk, you just pretend to be me? We're like the same person.
That definitely,
now I'm talking.
That definitely puts aside any of the we're gay thing. Like, no one will ever suspect that again now that Matt's pretending to be my girlfriend.
It's not gay if he pretends to be a woman.
How could that be gay? All right, well, you know I certainly don't have to explain this concept to you. We're getting through these fucking flung questions. And we need your help.
Why would you come to me for help?
We need everyone's help. Everyone who's been on the show.
Why can't we have yours?
Yes. And if you keep being a jerk, I'm going to put you on right after Smlown. So people, like, because whoever comes on after Smlown is going to be the least funny person. Not by design, not because they're not funny, but because how can you top?
I think that's unfair. That's an unfair threat.
Well, it's also unfair to be sitting, you know, 2 feet in front of my microphone and not speaking.
I think it's most unfair to have a woolen clown want to sodomize you, but you don't hear me complaining.
I hear you complaining all the time.
Yeah, when are you not complaining about that?
Okay, you got me there.
All right. So the question we have to get through here, and of course, he leaves out the guest again. So
because he's a douche.
Well, it's because I'm imaginary.
Yeah, right. That's why. Because that joke doesn't get old at all.
Imaginary and fictional and a ghost.
Those things must cancel each other out, mustn't they?
I don't know.
All right.
Ghost robot.
So he says, "Dear Algar, who is your favorite former U.S. president? Dear Matt, who is your favorite former Canadian prime minister?" And I chose this question because obviously you can answer as well.
Oh man, that would mean I would have to know some of them.
Well, and that's kind of why I did it this way, because I figure what you don't know about Canadian politics, she might be able to pick up some of the slack because she knows something.
All of the slack. And we talk about school.
Dear Al and Matt, who would win in a fist fight between the two? Regards, noted political pundit Flonk. P.S. Their winner would be Teddy Roosevelt. Well, no, Flonk.
He has
a
point. Teddy Roosevelt fought aliens.
Well, all right, but I'm not going to choose Teddy Roosevelt, so there's no possible way he could win.
He just swoops in, like on a rope afterwards.
All right, that's fair. But no, he doesn't fist fight. He fisticuffs. That's a whole other thing.
Didn't he stop the War of the Worlds?
No. That was
swine flu.
No, that was Taft, wasn't it? No, not Taft.
Taft never fought anything.
Like hell he didn't.
Except cakes.
No, that was Orson Welles.
That was the Orson Welles of his day.
No, if we're talking about War of the Worlds, then Orson Welles was the Orson Welles of his day. My favorite former U.S. president, well, I mean, putting aside once again nepotism, obviously Grandma Jimmy is way up there. Mm. But I got to go with Nixon. I mean, predictable answer for anyone who knows me, standard, but I do enjoy Nixon.
You just love Nixon.
I do. I named my dog after his dog, I should mention, though. No, I didn't name my dog after him. That would be a whole other weird thing.
That would be awesome. Come on, Nixon. Off to the park.
No, but he's a fascinating guy. He's a horrible monster, and on the other hand, he did some really cool stuff, and I like the guy. What can I say?
You like him because he's like a fictional character. He's almost not a real person. He goes through like a tragic arc.
Yeah. He's like a supervillain, is what he is.
The Adventures of Fighting Nixon.
But that said... everything I've seen and know about him, he would not lose, or he would not win in a fight, a fair fight, obviously. Yeah, he was...
He's got the army. He's always got the army.
That's one of my favorite lines from the Oliver Stone Nixon movie, was everyone's wanting him to resign. He's completely got everyone against him, and one of his advisors says, well, you got the army.
I just picture him in, like, the fight between Canadian prime ministers and American presidents, him being, like, the Dirk Dastardly.
Yeah, that's about right.
Like, coming up the rear, setting traps and stuff. He's got his dog in the backseat going,
And see, now, typically, I frown upon those Hanna-Barbera references, but in that case,
Oh, come on. Dirk Dastardly's a hell of a pull.
Yeah, you're right. I was thinking somebody else. Who was I even thinking of? Snidely Whiplash.
That would be a Canadian prime minister.
I don't think he was ever prime minister, but I could be wrong about that. I couldn't actually name a Canadian prime minister, so you guys take it.
I can't think of a single Canadian prime minister who ever tied someone to a railroad tracks.
Well, I like Trudeau. Trudeau was the only interesting Canadian prime minister for the last 100 years.
And he drew Doonesbury, right?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
His wife...
He flipped someone off once, didn't he?
He did. And his wife slept with rock stars and just cheated on him while he was prime minister. It was hilarious.
And does that make him a good prime minister?
He was a good prime minister. He was also interesting. Mostly because he was interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's pretty much why I like Nixon, not because he was good. But yeah, exactly. Was he a good fist fighter?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Better than Nixon.
Well, I mean, putting aside my choice for a minute, mm-hmm. just on his own merits, was he a good fist fighter?
He was younger than Canadian prime ministers tend to be. They tend to be crotchety old men, so he had youth on his side.
Yeah.
Well, could he take our current president? Because
I don't know. He's got, like, the ninja powers where he can...
Your current president is a
people.
Jedi, so...
Well, he's been pictured with a lightsaber. He has been documented as killing pirates.
He's best friends with Spider-Man.
Wait. Oh, yeah, you're right. So
he can snatch the very flies from the air.
Oh, right. I knew I missed
one. He's a ninja.
Yeah. So... I changed my answer, and I'm scared whenever, I have to mention the current president, only because that means, now we're liberal, apparently, but what can you do? I choose him.
You're dating a vegetarian, of course you're liberal.
I choose you, Barack Obama.
Wow, you're really painting yourself into that corner, huh?
Yeah.
What sound, what Pikachu sound would he make, do you think? Where he has to say his own name?
Oh, I don't know. I never watched that show.
Matt?
God damn it. Badock!
Well, there's no topping that. All right, Amanda, we're going to give you the same opportunity we've given everyone else. This is the last show of the year. We've done 30-ish episodes.
Do you have any Christmas joy to wish on people?
Yeah, is there anything you want to say to us? Anything we've gotten wrong or anything you want to say to the audience or anything just as kind of a year-end wrap-up? Here's your chance. Here's your soapbox. And don't give me that look. I've put the spotlight on everyone. Like
becomes silent again.
Yep. No, she's giving me this panicky look. Like, what? I didn't expect it. Yeah, I did. I've given this setup to everyone. Nobody's expecting this, and that's the point. I don't want you to have a prepared statement.
What would my fans think then? My many fans.
What does this mean for our many fans?
If I can't come up with something witty off the cuff immediately for the end of the show.
Well, if it helps, everyone else's response has been, no.
Well, I can't say that then.
Merry Christmas!
That doesn't sound like me at all. No, I hate really, Christmas.
Yeah.
I think I'll end up the show by saying once again that Matt is boy me.
Would you stop saying that?
Just so that it's clear, we are basically the same person.
You're not the same person.
Except that he's a boy and I'm not.
There are so many other differences.
So, Al's dating girl Matt.
All right, well, that said, you're never being on the show again. Thanks for calling and bye. All right, our next guest is someone I've referred to here and there. He is technically responsible for me starting this podcast, basically out of spite. He was starting one.
Anything.
Yeah, pretty much. He was starting one a few months ago, and I said, "Oh no, no way, no, I gotta do one better." So, welcome to podcast number 30, Natty P.
You're welcome. I am welcome. Thanks. I like to think of myself as the deadbeat dad of this podcast.
Yes, absolutely. So, dad.
I moved to Florida. Now I drive a limo, and I never send money.
And as would befit a deadbeat dad, we can only keep you on the line long enough before we can trace the call and get our back child support. So we will keep this brief.
Bitch, deadbeat dad don't have no phone. This is I'm calling from a payphone outside the OTB.
Gotcha.
OTB is a gambling thing for those of you from Elvis country. Anyway.
Elvis country. All right. Well, as we explained, we have these fucking Flonk questions. You know Flonk. You share a state with him.
Senor Lynch, yes.
Yeah, he won't let
He's
up.
He's got no chin. He looks a lot so much better with a beard. He really looks good with a beard, but yeah, no chin.
Some anyway, people can pull off a beard. Some people need a beard, and that's
well, he has to have a beard.
Yeah,
he looks good. Don't get me wrong.
Sure, not too good. I mean, you know, you wouldn't go gay for him, would you? I mean,
if I were in prison, I would fuck him. He's kind of meek too.
All right then. Okay. The question is
on the same page here.
Right. Yeah. Welcome to the show, Nat. dear podcasters of great renown and Nat. Welcome. Oh, remember 3D Doritos? I love those things. Whatever happened to them? Flonk.
Let me tell you about 3D Doritos.
All right.
Sit down, people. We're getting a story.
I saved this question specifically for you. I'm trying to match questions to guests. And I said, hey, junk food question. You know who would be good for this?
3D Doritos. All they had going for them was that commercial with the hot chick with the ass.
Mm-hmm, right.
Who, incidentally, hasn't done anything since. That's really all they have.
You keeping tabs on her? 3D
Doritos killed her career.
I don't even remember 3D Doritos. Weren't those like two Doritos sort of glued together with a bunch of air in between?
3D Doritos were that very thing, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't even remember. I mean, Doritos.
Have you ever had a bugle?
Yeah.
It was a bugle, but shaped like a.
Shaped like an intellectually distinct shape so that they couldn't get sued.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like.
I mean, if by intellectually distinct shape you mean triangle, then yeah.
Well, bugles are a cone, so there you go.
Right. I mean, I would like to. Would like to have been a fly in the wall for the when the lawyers discussed.
yeah, I.
Probably made by the same people.
It could be, for all we know. There's a, you know, I mean, Big Snacks or, you know, there's really only one or two names in Big Snacks, as I recall. So,
Frito-Lay and
the other one.
Yeah, the guys who make Cracker Jack.
Who the fuck makes Cracker Jack?
I don't know.
I think Cracker Jack makes Cracker Jack.
Oh, I thought.
It's like the only thing they make.
All right.
Toys for Cracker Jack.
Well, dude, I, for one, let's find one quick thing out.
All right.
I think they still make 3D Doritos.
It could very well be. 3D Doritos is kind of an – that's tough.
Did the original Doritos exist in some parallel universe? With
yeah, exactly.
That's what I was thinking. There is some thickness
4D
there.
Doritos. Oh. Doritos that travel through time.
First hit when you Google 3D Doritos. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I just Googled 3D Doritos.
Does it say that chick with the ass?
No. If it did, I would be some sort of internet wunderkind, whatever the fuck it is.
Internet prophet.
Back 3D Doritos petition.
Of course, there's a petition.
3D.
You know, this question doesn't have as vibrant legs as a...
And unfortunately, that is the luck of the Flonk draw. Sometimes we get great questions, sometimes we get stupid questions.
Bring back 3D Doritos petition has a compelling argument. Bring back 3D Doritos. They are delicious and everyone loves them. Sincerely, the undersigned. Well, I'm signing this.
They're delicious and everybody loves them?
They're delicious and everybody loves them.
P.S. Bring back Dollhouse. P.S.S.
Bring back Dollhouse. It is delicious and everybody loves it.
Yeah, there you go.
If by delicious you mean low rated and
right.
Everybody loves it, you mean Whedon fans are mostly lukewarm on it, then yes.
I'm just thinking of ineffectual internet petitions.
Faith in Dollhouse. Eventually it'll get better.
No, that's 3D Doritos. I think
it was good, but if I have to have a soundbite about Dollhouse, it's you know, I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers.
Or in this case 3D Doritos.
Would it kick her out of bed for eating 3D Doritos?
But, get out of here. Where did you get those?
Eliza Dushku. Is it right. Dushku or Dushku? For me, I would call myself Dushku.
I think it's Dushku.
She's from Boston, too. She must have had a rough time growing up because
they throw
the douche word around. I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating 3D Doritos. Shout out to Flonk. But she can't carry a show.
Gotcha.
And, you know, she's proven it twice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, unfortunately, Nat, as much as we're actually starting to warm up and actually discuss things, we got a lot of questions to get to here. Love to have you on as a proper guest here as soon as we can.
Yeah.
3D Doritos.
Let me plug myself.
Yeah. Plug away, man.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't have any website or anything, but I'm a musician and a, if you like fey, you know, guys who sing too high.
Our target then, audience.
Wow, way to talk myself up. I'm fucking awesome. And my music's great. And you could just friend me on Facebook. And I put up cover tunes all the time. I write songs a lot too, but I don't put them there because Facebook owns them. And I just have this vision in my head of all my original material being stolen by the guy that Aaron Sorkin's making a movie about. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Nat. Take care, man. That's it. Okay, our next guest, actually guests, a couple of friends of ours from the unnamed message board, of which we try not to speak. They were married some time ago. They are a lovely couple of people, and I'm running out of stuff to say about you guys. Help me out here.
That's pretty much, you got it. We're a lovely couple of people, and we got married off of a message board.
Which will not be named.
Once you're done with that, apparently you pretty much exhausted anything interesting about us.
All right, well, guys, thanks for being on, and
have a good night.
Awesome, so thanks for having us.
We are of course speaking to Travis and Jen, who met on said message board roughly around the same time as the future Mrs. Algar and I did. They beat us to getting married, however. So congratulations.
Not a competition.
But we won.
Yeah. If it was a competition, we would have won. It's not one, but
no, of course not. But if it were,
so you're aware.
As long as you're ahead, it's not a competition.
That's right.
Right.
And you don't know that you've never gone against Amanda. She will destroy you.
It's true. So, guys, as I mentioned in our quick little pre-show brief here, we have mounds of questions from Mr. Kevin Lynch, a.k.a. Flonk, and we need your help getting through them.
Outstanding.
So.
We love Flonk.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we've talked to an awful lot of people, and I can't say, Matt, have you ever heard anyone ever express that sentiment, ever?
You'd think his brother at some point.
No. God, no. Yeah, you guys are unique in that. You're.
No, he's. I find Flonk highly lovable myself.
Well, hey.
Like
all right, then. The question, of course, is not addressed to you guys because he's a jerk, but we will include you. Dear Al.
Right. Dear and, jerks.
Dear Al and Matt and Travis and Jen. Oh, this actually is addressed to us, but we will certainly broaden the question. I know you two are not big drinkers, referring to me and Matt, so you've never experienced the joy of dressing your beer in a little shirt. Have you ever played dress-up with other foods? Flonk. So we'll throw this to you guys first.
By all means, you can go ahead and field this one to start.
Oh, me?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Huh. I'm trying to think of what... Oh, you have an apple jacket.
I do have an apple jacket.
An apple jacket.
He has a little knitted sweater that he can put on his apple.
for why?
Yeah. In case it gets...
Oh my god, is this one of those things I shouldn't have said? Because now it's just weird.
No, it's fine. Like,
it is
the testicle that I lost when I got the apple jacket, it pretty much fell off when you gave me the apple jacket. The apple jacket was a gift from my lovely wife, and ostensibly... What it does is it surrounds your apple.
Sure.
And it protects it from bruising in transit.
Oh.
So what this means is that every day at work, when I crack out my lunch and I happen to have brought an apple or other appropriately sized piece of fruit,
sure.
I pull this thing out and it's always wearing a little coat.
It's a little blue sweater. It's got a little blue sweater.
It is blue. It's not pink, so at least it's like boy color.
Oh, well, that...
Yeah, that makes it so much better.
Yeah, you're saved there. Shoot, dodged a bullet.
There's always at least one person at the table at where I work who's never seen it before and always just kind of does a triple take. And
nice.
Like, what's that? And then I have to explain that it's an apple jacket. So this is a conversation I end up having at least once to twice a week.
Well,
you just have cards to hand out.
This is my apple jacket. Noticed, please stop asking.
Notice my apple jacket. What to do?
I think we've set a record in this now 4-minute conversation for the most times the phrase apple jacket has ever been spoken by adult humans. So go us.
Well, you have to understand there's a company somewhere in the world that produces the apple jacket. I like to think that that's all that they make.
It's not a company, it's a lady.
Oh, well, that explains a lot.
One old lady in the somewhere in the lower United States knitting apple jackets. The world needs me.
Probably has a page on Etsy.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's exactly where this came from. Yeah. What I like to think, though, is that she's kind of like branched out into other fruits, and she's made like a banana hammock without actually knowing
that there's a real
of that term.
That's fantastic.
So she's running around this like 90-year-old woman on Etsy, like, I've made banana hammock.
I should mention the genesis of this question is actually you guys, I believe, know him on the unnamed message board as the guy from Syracuse, Matt Terry.
Matt guy, yes.
he was on the Twitter where some of us kind of mill around and showing a picture of his beer, which had a cute little jacket on it or shirt or some kind of
a beer cozy.
Yeah, but it wasn't just a cozy. It had sleeves. It was a shirt.
Which is weird because beers don't actually have arms.
Right.
So pretty much every time you strap that on, what you're really doing is celebrating a little alcoholic amputee.
Exactly.
So much.
That's kind of depressing for your beer, I would think.
Yeah.
It's not what you'd call a great decision purchase-wise.
It's just reminding that beer of all the things it will never do. Like,
but it's lost.
Like hug someone or, you know.
The fact that it can never have pants.
It will never clap, yeah.
If only it came with a little, like one of those dollies that the legless homeless guys scoot around in. And,
Oh my God, or like that dog. Like that dog with no back legs, and they put it in a little wheelbarrow.
Oh God! And then a little cone on the top of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad. That made me sad.
Oh, well, blame
that's
Flunk.
My favorite joke
what about the dog with the two back legs that runs around?
What?
Haven't you ever seen
like
that dog?
Like on its hind legs? I've seen
yeah,
that.
And it just runs around.
Like a person?
Yes.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it's learned to run on its hind legs.
Wow.
The dog is awesome.
Once it gets there, it's pretty much screwed. There's not a lot to do once it arrives at its location.
Is he more equal than the other dogs? Is that how that works?
He's differently abled.
I am your dog king.
I was trying to get literary there. I think I failed.
And the ironic part is that he actually gets better parking spaces than the other dog.
Seeing eye dogs. That's fantastic. Well, guys, we got a lot of questions. Go ahead.
My favorite joke in the world, though, is what do you call a dog with no legs?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Doesn't matter. It wouldn't come anyway.
Oh.
God bless you for laughing at that.
Why my dad? Yeah.
Well, guys,
you married me.
as much fun as this is, and this really isn't me being patronizing, I would love to talk to you guys more. We need to do this again sometime, but we get a lot of questions to get through.
Okay, sure.
Is anything else you want to add or say or plug or whatever
about the beer outfits? No, I'm pretty much good with that.
Gotcha. Nope. All right.
Lobster
well,
shrouds. That's the only other thing.
Lobster shrouds. We'll
so
put it.
Lobsters, if they're looking at me, it freaks me out. So I put a little napkin shroud on them.
Like you would a torture victim, like a little burlap bag over their head.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly. Sometimes she offers them a cigarette too. Pretty grisly.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. Hopefully, we can do this again sometime.
Yeah,
I would love it.
All right. Take care, man.
Later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, our next guest is a previous guest, Mr. Brian Lynch. Welcome back, sir.
Always a pleasure.
Man closest to the problem at hand.
Yeah, really, don't you?
That's
don't.
True. He's right upstairs.
Couldn't you just smother him with a pillow, really? I mean,
solve a lot of problems.
As much fun as this all is, you know, if you nipped it in the bud, just nip it, you know?
I would do that, but I'm a Quaker, so conscientious objector.
Wait, what? Are you really? No?
I lied to
you. Oh, wow.
I wouldn't do if I was a Quaker, but...
I was going to say, a Quaker wouldn't lie to me. How dare you?
Uh-huh.
All right, well, I'm...
about oatmeal and lies.
Just remembered, Richard Nixon was a Quaker. That is a true fact.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know the deal. We got these questions. We got to get through them. We need your help. I'm trying my best to match questions to guests, sort of. He just wrote them to us, but I'm trying to pick questions that are suitable for, you know, specific guests. And this one actually requires
terrifying in my case.
No, this one actually you'll get this and requires a voice. And
Since I'm reading the question, I'm going to have to do it, but I'll do my best here.
Okay.
Here goes. Oh, jeez! I killed the elephant man! Oh, this is bad. This is real bad, man! What would a dancing brothers do in a situation like this? Talk at you later, the townsfolk.
So. Oh, great job! Great job!
If you listen carefully, the sound you hear is Brewtown Andy turning off the podcast. These are Homestar references.
Dear Flock,
take that, Brewtown.
This is by far the worst question I have ever received.
Okay, you're going to have to do some keyboard tap taps if you're going to...
Oh, excuse me.
There we go. Did Mr. Smilin just run into your house? What's up?
I was just saying, was that the sound of a keyboard tap?
Yeah.
No, it sounded like Mr. Smilin running in.
Impressive keyboard.
Oh, yeah. That was... My keyboard is 6 feet long.
So the question is, what would the Dancing Brothers do? And of course, they would sing their smash hit, Gonna Have a Good Time Tonight, I believe is the answer.
Gonna Have a Good Time Tonight.
Yeah, and presumably have a good time tonight.
Now, just out of curiosity.
The real question is, who would do a better job in that situation, the Dancing Brothers or the Snicka Girls?
Oh,
the
Snicka
Man Dancing Squad.
I think
the Punchberry Dance Team.
I can't even reach the top. I think the Dancing Brothers, my question was going to be, I address this to both of you. Who is your favorite Dancing Brother? Is it Glenn, Mart Bell, or the Killer Dynamo?
It's Mart Bell.
Really?
Mart Bell, yeah. Most people would think it would be the Killer Dynamo, but I like Mart Bell's style. He's casual. He's the shy one.
All right. Matt, how about you?
I like the Killer Dynamo, man. That guy's old school.
See, you know, Glenn just does not get enough cred. I mean, you always think, oh, well, no, he's just the first guy in the sequence. He's no good. He's just there to prop up the other two. But,
yeah,
you know.
Well, if you knew what Glenn
had... Mo or Huey.
Yeah, well, if you knew why Glenn was in prison now, you'd know why people don't like him.
I just feel like I'm the Glenn of you know, this podcast. I mean.
Did you also rape a chicken?
Like recently?
Yeah, I mean, what's the statute of limitations on that, really? We can't...
I'm not even sure it's a crime.
And rape is such an ugly word. I mean, statutory rape because it was younger, but...
You know what's not an ugly word is chicken, because that's a hilarious word.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you have a point there. All right, well, Brian...
To the show?
I'm sorry?
No, never mind.
Oh,
it's gone now.
Passed.
Oh, sorry. I've ruined the act, Job. Brian, as we mentioned, this is the sort of the last show of the year. As a previous guest, as a listener, is there anything you want to say to us? Any words? Any grunts? Any
phrases?
Or the audience?
What do I want to say to you, I guess.
Well, we're giving you sort of a
fire. Been there before. These are the things that inspire confidence in a podcast listener.
Uh huh. I'm talking about journalism field.
Journalism? Yes. Sorry, your boy's exhausted. I've been looking for this farmhouse in the middle of the desert, and it's just...
Where do the checks come from?
Have I had the most inside jokey call yet? Or it's all been Homestar references and Larry King jokes.
Yeah, well, we let the audience in on the Larry King thing.
Homestar and Larry King.
Larry!
I'm a professional. Let me read a book.
I was impressed this year that Homestar's Halloween costume was...
Oh, fuck, that was awesome.
Was Crispin Glover as I Can Kick Letterman appearance guy.
Because people think I'm a lot weird, but I'm strong. I'm strong.
And I can kick.
Yeah, I'm going to go check on the top 10 list now. Oh, man.
Do you know why Crispin Glover did that?
I've heard varying accounts, but I...
Well, no, he was promoting a movie that didn't come out for another 4 years.
Yeah.
He had filmed it, and that was his character in the movie, but it didn't, like, even have a release date at the time he went on. I guess he just thought he could drum up interest.
Well,
he drummed up something.
That was the reason for the shoes and the and everything.
See, I just thought there was a weird sort of 70s... like retro comeback thing happening at that time. I just kind of thought he was, you know, being nutty.
And just sometimes Crispin Glover does things that don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, like Back to the Future 2? No. No thanks.
No.
Like that.
Yeah.
Not gonna do that, but I will do the show about a guy in a bad wig who wears big shoes.
Big shoes to
that
fill.
I think is a good
oh, God, shoe. Verboten, big oh, fucking time.
Fuck. What am oh, I even thinking? Fired.
Oh, sorry, I went right for the most verboten thing of all. You said big shoes, and I just couldn't help myself. I had big shoes to fill. So.
Oh, I see. I see what you did there. I missed yeah. that. I just heard all of a sudden a lot of people reacting to a verboten thing.
No, it's just the two of us, Brian. There's not a lot of us. It's just me and Matt.
All of us together.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we have a lot of more questions to get to, but we appreciate your time and love to have you on again soon.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, man.
See you, man.
All right. Our next guest is his name is Antonio, but many of you may know him as the sound effect Thwip. Thwip, thanks for being on.
Onomatopoeia. Oh, yeah. No problem. Thank you for having me.
That's the word I was trying to think of, onomatopoeia, and I was just drawing a blank. It's, you know, yeah. that thing Spider-Man does, you know, Thwip, you know.
Yeah. it's pretty easy to come up with that name.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and I'm actually kind of impressed that no one else has come up with, like, Snicked or Bamf or, you know.
Well, actually, I think there is a Bamf on the board. But
yeah, I'm sure there is.
Huh.
Yeah.
I've seen him post, like, maybe once. I was all excited, too, when I saw it. I was like, all right, another sound effect.
My soulmate.
Join my coalition of sound effects, guys.
So as we explained briefly in our little pre-show thing there, we got these questions from Flonk that we need to get through. We need your help. So if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, no.
No?
I'm not going to answer these questions.
Oh. Well, this is.
Are you sure?
Because he didn't go to Comic-Con this year in New York. He fucking went to some wedding or some shit.
So what,
come hang out. So fuck
yeah. What we've done here is inadvertently trodden in some kind of a comic geek gang war.
Gotta drag your drama onto our podcast, man.
Flonk, and not you. We're not.
No. I love Flonk. I'll answer any questions he got. How weird they get, it doesn't matter.
Well, unfortunately, this is not even vaguely weird. So he's going to disappoint you as he always does.
Knowing Flonk, aren't the answers to half these questions going to be bacon?
Yes, and the other half are going to be Homestar Runner quotes.
Pretty much.
I don't know anything about Homestar Runner, unfortunately. So.
Well,
that actually works out pretty well.
The question we got is the most straightforward, boring question you could ever get. Not that your answer will be boring, but it's really unimaginative question. But let's get this over with.
Let's do this.
Dear Al, Matt, and friend. Oh, he actually included the guest this time. Good for him. He never does. What is your favorite?
Oh, I feel special.
What is your favorite movie of all time? And he signs it Siskel and Flonkbert. Is that a pun?
Good question.
Yeah. Well, if you need a sec, we can jump on this one.
You guys go ahead. I gotta think about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I could not even begin to possibly. Matt, you better just.
Okay, we've discussed this, like, the first cast we ever did, we talked about this. My favorite movie of all time is Ghostbusters.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that. I
followed by Jaws.
Right. I could not name one. I guess if I had to be put on the spot immediately, I would say The Empire Strikes Back or Back to the Future, one of those. Something with the word back in it.
The Empire Strikes Back to the Future?
Yeah.
That'd be an awesome movie.
Yeah.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
Of course you would.
Oh, I just got scenarios running to my head. Like, you see a young George Lucas going back in time to stop himself from fucking up Star Wars.
Very nice.
You know, I know a lot of people say this, but I'm going to have to go with Pulp Fiction.
Nothing wrong with that. Solid choice, my friend.
Every time I see that movie on TV, I can watch it from any moment. I saw that when I was in high school, and that movie left such an impact on me.
Yeah, if you're that age and you're seeing that movie for the first time, that must have completely just changed your life. I mean,
it blew my mind. I was like, I didn't know movies can be like this.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, you know, like, before then, I don't know, like, and I still consider it one of my favorite movies, but I always just love Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I saw that in the movie theater with my dad when I was 8, and he was trying to cover my eyes while the T-Rex was eating the lawyer. I'm like, get out of my way. I want to see this.
I'm watching this.
Yeah.
Not every day you get to see a guy get eaten by a T-Rex.
Pulp Fiction. I mean, other ones there up there, though, are Like, I mean, I got a lot of recent movies. Like, most of my favorite movies are recent, though.
Sure.
I love Brick.
Okay.
Brick is a fantastic movie.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice.
And then, you know, then my other favorites are, like, I love A Clockwork Orange.
Mm-hmm. Always a solid choice.
Taxi Driver.
Sure.
Is one of my favorite movies.
But if you had to pick the number one, there's your Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, definitely Pulp Fiction.
No doubt. Mm. That is a solid choice. Now, real quick, when you say you catch it on TV, we actually discussed a few weeks ago with Chris Page when that movie is cut for broadcast on normal television. Is that what you mean, or do you mean on, like, HBO or something?
Because
there's a censored version of that movie.
The last time I actually saw it on TV was on IFC, and they don't censor anything.
Right.
And I ended up watching most of it. But, you know, nowadays it's so rare that I actually do watch TV on TV. Like,
right.
All my TV viewing is on my computer.
Good for you, man. That's that's the way of the 21st century, and you're a good American for doing that.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck timetables. I'll watch whatever I want, whenever I want, on my own time.
Absolutely. and forget commercials, too. You hear that, Adrian?
Yeah.
Adrian B. Awesome has been on the show.
I can't even stand Hulu, and that's like 30 seconds of commercials.
It drives me nuts.
I can't stand it.
Yeah. Now,
get Hulu.
Yeah, that's true. Up in Canada there, Matt, you don't get it. That's not cool.
Oh, no. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it
I was going to mention, you know, Adrian B. Awesome from the board hates your freedom and doesn't want you to have DVR or TV on your computer. So just so you know, he's the enemy.
Well, my methods aren't exactly legal.
Well, hey, we don't know anything about that. Look at the time. No, seriously,
well,
man,
we
really do have a lot of questions. We got to, unfortunately, get moving. I hate to cut you off there. But
let's answer Flunk's question.
Oh, he was just, what's your favorite movie? That was his question.
The one?
Yeah, that's
right,
it.
Yeah. Cool.
But I do appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon. And
thank you.
Take care, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Love the podcast.
Thanks. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, our next guest. Oh boy. Our next guest was once married to me.
No, it's not
me. Hey, Algar.
Hi there, ex-wife. Do you want me to give your name? Are you ashamed? Are you wanting to protect your identity?
You can give my first name. I'm rather ashamed of my last name.
You did steal my name, Succubus. But beyond that, it is good to talk to you again. No, it is Laurie, the former Mrs. Algar, as I occasionally mention on the show, and. As much as we do enjoy making people feel uncomfortable about our arrangement, we are still on relatively good terms, I would say.
Yes, we're pretty good friends, I'd say.
Yeah. You know, except that you're in Texas and, you know, there's the whole anti-Texan thing, but that's really not a personal thing. That's just more of a Texas thing. So,
to be honest, I'm not a big fan of Texans at the moment anyway. So I don't mind.
We caught you at a good point then. That's good. So as we briefly discussed in our sort of little preamble there, we have these questions from Flonk. You know Flonk. We've met him. He will not leave us alone. He just will not stop asking us stupid questions, and we need your help getting through one of these, if you do not mind.
Yeah, sure. Flonk's a funny little man. I don't mean funny in any way.
I knew this a reason I married you. All right. Unfortunately, we're sort of down to the dregs now. I would like to have chosen something a little more coherent or less specific, but we're down to the Star Trek questions. And I know you know a little bit of Star Trek. I know, you know, you're not super into it, but I remember we spent a fair amount of time watching. So you may get the reference. You may not. It doesn't really matter. It's Flonk.
Okay.
And he writes, to Starfleet, human play Dom Jot. And then it says double check spelling in parentheses, like he expects me to double check his spelling of a made up sport. I'm not going to do that.
I will answer this question on the condition that I will not get stabbed in the heart afterwards.
We promise nothing.
Yeah, we can't. It's Flonk. If it were us, you know, I could definitely make that promise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the artificial heart technology these days has done some amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have one of those plastic hearts and live for another 50 years and lose all traces of a French accent. I mean, it's...
Become a Starfleet captain rather than a random guy in a blue shirt.
Sure. We're actually going to do a series of really completely nerdy podcasts talking only about Star Trek. That'll be coming up shortly, but for now we'll try to keep this brief. He is referencing the sort of the It's a Wonderful Life Star Trek episode where
I don't know what he's referencing.
No, I know you do. I'm telling the listeners. Oh. You completely, you know, came out punching with that one. I was that was, you know, I mean, I know we've had our time and we're done, but really still, there's nothing sexier than a woman who knows her Star Trek, I got to say. I mean, I got a little tingly there. I'm for the listeners, I'm explaining that there's an episode where Q, the sort of the godlike being that likes to toy with Captain Picard, comes to him and says, I'm going to show you what your life was like if you hadn't had this pivotal moment in your life happen.
Oddly enough, just before Picard was about to jump off a bridge.
and so we get this whole alternate life where he didn't take chances and so on. And, it was a good typical Star Trek, like, what makes us human is taking chances and doing things. And it was good. But really, what that episode always comes down for to me is he's had this sort of one night stand with this chick. And the next morning, there's this tight, like, we come back for commercial and there's this tight shot on a finger sort of caressing his ear. And Patrick Stewart is smiling and opens his eyes, rolls over, and Q's laying there. I just fucking love that show.
Pretty hot, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, really, as a woman, as a Star Trek loving woman, can you think of a better pair up, a better slash pair up than John DeLancey?
I was here the whole time, Mon Capitaine.
I mean, you know, maybe you could go like kind of Riker Wesley or something like that, but really that's, you know.
Or Riker Data.
I would like a Riker Wesley pair off if it was maybe Riker throwing Wesley off of the bridge into space and Wesley's head exploding.
Well, we've established on the show, of course, that Wesley and noted joke thief Will Wheaton are two distinctly different people, but I would not mind seeing that.
Nemesis.
Yeah, but I would not mind seeing noted joke thief Will Wheaton also thrown from the bridge next to Wesley, and in their last gasping moments of struggling for air, realizing that they look exactly the same and that they're both,
and they embrace.
Yes, there's your slash fiction. Well, Ari, I
do actually have to answer that question that Flunk posed.
Oh, I don't know. We just use them as an excuse to talk to people. Yeah. You can answer it if you want.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, I do play Dumb Jot. Thank you. Thank you, Flunk.
Do you know the Dom Jot? Do you know the rules? Do you know the? Or was that just a bluff? Did I just completely kill that?
Shit! You called my bluff.
Yeah, sorry.
She's a whiz at 3D chess, though.
Yeah, she is actually. Totally, she outspocked me every time. Lori, I do definitely appreciate your time. I do appreciate you appearing on the show and showing people that you do exist and that I didn't just make up some weird backstory of having an ex-wife, that you're actually, you know, a real...
Yeah, no.
That didn't work out so well for me.
I am a real harpy. I am here. Nice to meet you all.
Yes, except me, of course, because, you know, you loathe me and everything I stand for.
I know you already.
Well, we're giving everyone the opportunity, as this is sort of the last show of the year. Just giving you a general soapbox. If you got anything you've heard us do that you take issue with, or anything you want to say to the audience, anything you want them to know, this is your forum. We give you total carte blanche now.
No, I don't have anything to say at the moment. It might be cool to recommend some pretty terrible movies in the future. I have been watching some.
Oh, that's right. You do that. I've heard about this. You do this like movie club thing, don't you? Where you get friends together and like try to outdo each other with terrible movies.
That's awesome.
Every Saturday we get together, pull a topic, and we try to find the worst movies imaginable.
Fantastic.
We watch some. Yes. So there are some really, really good ones that I can recommend if anyone wants to torture and shock their friends.
Absolutely.
That's something we got to bring you back on. We got to bring you back on when you have like a proper list and a little bit of prep so we can really delve into that. That would be a lot of fun if you'd be willing.
Yeah. More than 5 minutes of prep time would be awesome.
Yeah, no problem. Well, like I said, this is just a quick thing. This is just to get the flunk questions out of the way. And I had kind of a wish list of guests, and you're on there. And I say, hey, let's test the waters with this, 10-minute thing and see how it goes. And it's gone well. So I do remember, speaking of bad movies, this was quite some time ago. I'm sure you remember, too. One of the people I believe you went to college with made you watch more than once a movie called, if I'm not mistaken, Monsterd. Is that right?
Yes. That was actually a person that I was an archaeologist with back in Maryland. And that was a phenomenal movie. And that doesn't even... That movie pales in comparison to movies that I've seen.
Wow. That's fantastic. Because when I think of you and I think of bad movies, I remember, like I say, you were going to school at the time when we were together, and you were... you got your degree in archaeology, and you were down there digging, the first capital of Maryland, St. Mary's City. And you guys would hang out, crawl out of the pit and go hang out. And I remember this guy made you watch this movie more than once. And I felt so bad for you.
But yeah. It really grows in the viewing, movies you have to watch a couple of times to really get.
And if I'm not mistaken, that movie's exactly what the title, what you think it is.
It's a giant monster made out of turds.
Right. And that's not even, so let's put that somewhere in the scale. How about The Room? Is that better or worse than your average movie that you guys watch?
The Room is, when you say better, do you mean better in a sense of more entertaining or better in a more conventional sense?
Assuming these are all bad movies, just in pure entertainment value.
The Room is one of my favorite movies that I've seen in recent years.
I got you. The problem I have
in terms of shock value is that some of the movies that I've seen recently are just way up there. And
wow.
I would recommend.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. We definitely got to bring you back and discuss that. So again, definitely thanks for your time. We'll have you back on and talk bad movies, because that's something we could talk about for hours, I'm sure.
Mm. Yes.
And, that's it. So thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care.
Bye, you guys.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website again is Algar, AlGar.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2009.
He was a suburban child of the 70s.
This concludes part 2 of the Clusterflunk cycle. Tune in next Friday for part 3 when you'll hear...
The world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some.